The sermon that I didn't think I was going to preach on is actually entitled Love, L-O-V-E, as simple as that. And it starts with the scripture that we read right at the beginning, that Nola read out at the beginning. It's from 1 John 4, verses 15 to 21. And it kind of like is a platform to launch into this message. So if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and yet hates his brother, well, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot possibly love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother and sister, I dare say. Now, the use of the word love is very topical these days, maybe even more topical now than it ever was. But are we and are they talking about the same meaning as is intended in Scripture? I want to reflect on a song by John Lennon and Paul McCartney, "All You Need Is Love," the Beatles hit released in 1967. I would have been 9 at that time. It's got these following lyrics: love, love, love. Love, 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 love. That's it, right? And then it goes on to say, there's nothing you can do that can't be done. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung. Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time. It's easy. All you need is love. All together now. Now, many homes, I've noticed, modern homes, have these large letters on their windowsill. Have you seen? L-O-V-E, love. On their mantelpieces, pointing out onto the street. I guess they're advertising the fact that they are in favour of love and believe it should be a priority in everyone's lives. I guess that's what they're saying, that love is very valuable. And nowadays people are saying, well, you know, when they're talking about modern day living and relationships, love is love. Love is love. Love is just love, you know. Many people say that nowadays when they're attempting to qualify or normalize historically unnatural or non-biblical relationships. Love is love. Basically giving the okay to human and possibly even non-natural relationships that might have put you in prison a few decades ago. That's the truth of it. But love's love. Now, what is the original meaning of love? I guess if you're looking at the Greek, there are three different types. There's the agape, and there's the eros, and there's the philia. Different types. And we've only got one word, as most of us know now. But the word love was originally pronounced lub, L-E-U-B-H. Used by the Proto-Indo-Europeans approximately 5,000 years ago, apparently. I'm all taking this off the internet, you know, so I can't actually verify that 5,000 years ago people said that, but that's what it says. And it was used to describe care and desire. And then when love was incorporated into Old English, it was known as lufu, L-U-F-U, lufu. It had turned into both a noun to describe deep affection and its offspring verb, which is to be very fond of. And words like libido and belief also descend from that word, lub. I don't know how you pronounce it, L-E-U-B-H. Now, online possible definitions of the word love include these: a willingness to prioritize another's well-being or happiness above your own, extreme feelings of attachment, affection, and need, dramatic, sudden feelings of attraction and respect, or a fleeting emotion of care, affection, and like. A choice to commit to helping, respecting, and caring for another, such as in marriage or when having a child. And then at the bottom it says, and maybe some combination of the above emotions. It distinctly said emotions. Now, we need to talk about emotions, don't we? Some people are far more demonstrative with their emotions than others. For example, some people greet others with a smile, others with a limp handshake, others with a firm handshake, and still others with a little hug, sometimes a little hug and a peck on the cheek, and still others with a bear hug and a peck on both cheeks. But I must admit, I've even seen more demonstrative ways of greeting or saying farewell to people, even within the church. But is love always about emotions and desire? Is it about friendship? Is it about being tactile? Is there more to it than that? Or is that it? 1 John 4:20-21 distinctly says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So how on earth are we supposed to love our brother and or sister in Christ? Surely there's more to it than how we greet each other or say goodbye at the end of a meeting, or even how we feel about each other. Lennon and McCartney have this phrase in their song, "Nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game." As if game? Love is a game? And the words follow on, "It's easy. All you need is love." Now, I'm not here to preach the gospel of John Lennon and Paul McCartney, but surely love is more than just playing the game. Is this worldwide Beatles hit record even close to what Scripture regards as love? Bearing in mind that, was it John Lennon who said, we're more popular now than Jesus Christ? So we have to look, don't we, at what the biblical recognition of the attributes of love are, and we all know it's in 1 Corinthians 13:1-10. So I'm going to look at that now. So if you're spiritual, if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you've got the gift of tongues or prophecy or interpretation of tongues, all those things which might be considered evidence of your spirituality, it says here, if I speak in the tongues or languages of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flame, that I might boast, but have not love, I gain nothing. And here's the list. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Is perfection then love, I ask you? Is that what we're aiming for? Perfect love between each other and between God and ourselves and our fellow man. Let's look at these 16 attributes. I'll just read them to you. To be loving, you've got to be patient. If you love somebody, you try to be kind. You don't envy what other people have got. You don't envy what they've got. The people you're trying to love, you don't envy what they've got. You try to be satisfied with what you've got. You don't boast about what you've got. You try to be modest. You try not to be proud. You try not to be rude. You try not to seek just for yourself, your own point of view, your own desires. You try not to get angry quickly. You try to withhold your anger. You try not to store up the things that people have done wrong against you. Don't keep a record. You shouldn't find entertainment in evil. Don't delight in it. But you should be happy to hear and rejoice when you hear the truth. It's such a refreshing thing these days, isn't it? And very, very rare, I might add, in the media, to know you've heard the truth. And if you love your children and you love your spouse, and you try to protect them, and you try to trust, give them the benefit of the doubt, and you never stop hoping that it's going to get better, that things are going to turn out well, and you never give up. You always persevere. You keep on keeping on, even when you don't want to keep on. And if you can do all those things, love will never fail. It's invincible. Now, I'll be the first to admit that as far as love is concerned, I frequently fail at some and many of those attributes, almost on a daily basis. It could be that I'm being hard on myself. It could be that I'm actually getting better over time. But I know in my heart that I fail. So as much as I aim to love my wife and my children, my brother, my sister, the church, family, and even my own enemies, on some days I feel an utter failure. I just can't do it right. And that's nothing to brag about, is it really? And if it's your weakness too, then it's nothing for you to be pleased about either. But I have to tell you that there was a time in the past when I was much worse than I am today. And hopefully you're able to say the same thing. I hope that is the case. How many of us were very impatient, were unkind? How many people were envious of what other people had? How many of us boasted about their strength in their youth, how much money they had, their wealth, the kind of clothes they wore, maybe their sporting or their athletic excellence or ability? Maybe we were proud of our achievements, our conquests, how we'd overcome things, proud of our knowledge of certain things in life, proud of our own intelligence, proud of our influence on other people. How many of us were rude, just thinking it was fun or clever? How many of us were the centre of our own universe, looking out for number one at the expense of most other people? Who of us got angry very quickly or became unreasonably angry? And let's be honest, who still, even today, has a record of wrongs against someone else? Who secretly enjoys things that appeal to the fallen nature? Things that you wouldn't be happy to admit to other people? Who of us who thinks they're truthful is actually still economical with the truth? And how often do we wake up in the morning with feelings of hopelessness, negativity, wishing we were somewhere else, wishing we were doing something else, living in another country? Here today, how many of us would admit to have suffered feelings of wanting to just, well, to give up, pack it all in, throw in the towel, stop trying? I'm not the only one then. And come on, when you're feeling weak and you're worn out and you're tired, when the tank is almost empty, or as the New Zealand Jacinda Ardern said, you have nothing left in the tank, don't you sometimes think that you're failing, or you've even failed, that you're really ready to give up? I'm not the only one, because I can see the feedback. So if you're feeling like that, and I'm feeling like that, the whole world is probably feeling like that. Now, not only are we called to love others, both our friends and neighbours, but we are supposed to love our neighbours like ourselves. But sometimes we don't even love ourselves. Think about it. When was the last time you did an inventory check? How long is your record of wrongs against yourself? How kind are you to yourself? Can you accept compliments? How kind are you to your spouse, your partner, your friend? Do you get angry with yourself? Do you protect yourself from things that are not helpful? Things that might even be harmful to you? Do you entertain evil thoughts? There are many people out there today that literally hate themselves. Just look at the many youngsters who self-harm, for example. Why do they do that? It's the only relief they can get, because they don't love themselves. They starve themselves because they despise what they look like compared to somebody else. They can't and don't know how to protect themselves. People who lie to survive, who don't know how to be kind to themselves or anyone else, because perhaps they have never experienced kindness in their own life, from their own parents, from their own friends. Surely this is where we are meant to stand in the gap, isn't it? We, as the children of God, are supposed to be Jesus to these people, to share our faith with them and lead them into a better life. A life of love and hope, of acceptance and trust. Why are we not more effective at loving people, do you think? Why are we not more effective? Love, 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 it's all you need. But where are you going to get it from to hand it on? This perfect love. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and we rely on the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. Now, like salvation, if you haven't got it, you can get it. If you have very little faith, you can get more faith. If you feel hopeless, it doesn't need to stay that way. God has got it all. When we are weak, he is strong. But we need to be honest, because he delights in the truth, remember? That's one of the attributes of love. And why wouldn't he? After all, he's the one who created love in the first place. God is love, right? In fact, if you're feeling weak today, you're despondent, you're sad, downhearted, discouraged, worn out, maybe even unloved, consider this. We know what the Bible says about love. We know that we should love God with all our heart, mind, and strength, don't we? And we should love our neighbours as ourselves. That's our mission statement for this church. But have you ever considered where these love attributes came from? They came from him. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Now, if he first loved us, and love never fails, right? And if love has all these attributes of being patient, kind, not envying, not boasting, not proud, not rude, not self-seeking, not easily angered, not keeping a record of wrongs, not delighting in evil, not rejoicing in lies, but rejoicing in the truth, with the truth. If love always protects, trusts, hopes, perseveres, and ultimately never fails, i.e. it's invincible, then how much does God love each one of us? All those and more. Now, we're told, aren't we, that we have to use those attributes with our brothers and our sisters, our spouses, even our enemies. God has those attributes and reflects them on us. But have you ever thought this? To love God, we also have to use those attributes towards him. And that's what struck me about this message, was I'd never thought about it that way. I never thought about, if we're going to love God, we have to be patient with God. We have to be kind to God. We don't want to envy what God's got. Like, Jesus didn't think that it had to be equivalent of God. He humbled himself, didn't he? We don't boast. We're not proud. Well, we're proud in what Jesus did, but we should be humble, shouldn't we? We're not rude towards God. I mean, it's very easy when you're angry at God to be rude to God, isn't it? Let's be honest. And blame God for things that have happened in your life. And when we're loving God, are we just self-seeking? Are we asking for stuff? What are we doing when we're praying? Are we self-seeking? Let's be honest, sometimes we are. Do you get angry with God very easily? Do you blame God for things that have happened in your life? It's very easy to do that. It's very easy not to understand why God did certain things or didn't do certain things. And for a period of time, while you're getting your head round what's happened in your life, you have this problem with God. He didn't let me do this. He didn't allow me to do that. He allowed this person in my life who was so close to me to die, and I couldn't even be there when they died. And it's all God's fault. And you get angry. But don't be easily angered against God if you're going to love him. If you say you love him, hang on in there. Give him enough time to answer your prayers. And don't keep a record of the wrongs that you think God has done. You allowed this to happen, and then you allowed that to happen, and then you didn't do this. God, are you really there? Why didn't I pass that exam? Rub it off the list. Because he knows. You don't know. He knows. God is good all the time, isn't he? Tell God the truth. Don't hold it back. Tell him how you feel. Tell him the truth. Tell him what's on your mind. He can deal with it. He knows everything. How do you protect God? Does he need protecting? You can protect his name. You don't hang out with those people who blaspheme his name for very long without telling them. You protect his name. He doesn't need your help in any other way, but you, as a believer who loves God, we should show that we're different. Do you trust God? Now there's a good one, isn't it? If you love God, do you trust God? Love always trusts. Do you trust him to a point, but no further? Or do you trust him with your life, every day of your life? And do you hope? Boy, do I hope. Hope in God is not wasted hope. It's not pie in the sky. It's based on the word. It's based on faith. And can you persevere? Can you carry on? Persevere loving God, not giving up. Because if you can do all those things, love will never fail. Your love to God will impress him, and you will know his love for you even more. So how could God load us down with a list like that of near impossible things to carry out in the name of love if he hadn't led by example? It would be very hypocritical, wouldn't it, for him to say, do this, do this, do this, do this. Don't do as I do as I say. But that's exactly not what happened, is it? Jesus showed all those attributes. And because God is omnipresent, is omniscient, is omnipotent, and by the Holy Spirit inhabits his people, you and me, then all we have to do, and it's easy, doesn't it? All we have to do is allow him to love our family, the church, our neighbours, etc., etc., through us. Let him do it through us. Give him permission to do it through us. He was the one who started all this. God is love. And I'm not saying that love is God. This is where the danger lies. It's not love that is God. God is love. But I wouldn't be surprised, would you, in the future that confusion will manifest to such a level that it might pervert the truth, perhaps becoming a religion in itself, that so long as everything is lovey-dovey and we get on, that that itself becomes a kind of a God religion. We need to keep remembering that God started this whole thing. He loved us, remember, John 3:16, everybody knows it, so much that he gave us his only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us. And why would his Son love us any less? God loved us so much he gave us his Son. Why would Jesus love us any less? And how could his Son Jesus love us any differently than his Father in heaven? So that's it. Maybe all you need is love. But the only way you're going to get that real thing, the real thing, is if you get it through Jesus Christ. That's the only kind of love that never fails. The type which is patient and kind, and more importantly, does not keep a record of wrongs. That kind of love is the best. It is the only kind of love that you can rely on. You can trust your life on it and have the confidence to share it with other people, knowing that it won't let them down either. You can endorse it, can't you? I'm going to finish with a qualifying scripture from Paul the Apostle, from 1 Corinthians 13:11-13. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I even reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of all these things, your faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. But it's got to be the genuine article, hasn't it? If Jesus is the rock on which all these things stand on, your hope and your faith, the things that you depend on, then love is all you need. Love, love, love. And I thought, what could I make the letters stand out to mean? And I came up with this: life of victory in Emmanuel. A life of victory in God with us. That's what you can claim. That relationship will give you victory, because love never fails. And that is how we love each other, and that's how we love God, and He will provide all we need to do it. Which makes it possible then, doesn't it? Amen. Father, I thank you for showing us again how important love is. It's not an ethereal, wishy-washy, pink, fluffy thing, but Lord, it is serious business, and Lord, it will set us free, because most of the things that love doesn't do, well, it's not good for us anyway, is it? So Lord, help us to receive your love and to translate it into our actions. Help us to be patient and kind to you, to respect you, not to keep a record of wrongs against you, Lord, to hope in you, to trust, and to look for your coming to take us to where you are, Lord. Because we are the bride of Christ, and you are coming to get us because you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.